This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, he's not ready to buy a call yet, though.
Is your coach too nice?
Foie gras is expensive still. He ain't gonna pay for them calls yet.
Was he too nice in that response? Because it's always, at this point, it is kind of a psychological chess match. Right, the old ways.
J.B. Bickerstaff, yes, I hope they die, and I hope they burn in hell. But Kenny Atkinson on the other side.
Yeah, J.B. took a very, very different tact, you know, throughout the playoffs this year, throughout the playoffs last year, throughout the regular season, throughout the playing games, throughout the preseason. A little bit different from Kenny. Kenny was so nice. He's like, listen, they're a great crew. They're a great playoff crew, and we're playing a great team, and we like them, and I don't think they were dirty. I don't think anything they did was dirty. Now, at the same time, Kenny did not want to go all
out. He didn't
want
to do that.
Yesterday.
He didn't want to do that.
He didn't want to go scorched earth.
So, Nick, I think they played this audio on their show on Afternoon Drive. Nick had this to say about the calls or lack thereof in game one.
I have never seen a number one seed. I mean, this goes back to maybe the original Atlanta teams with Jeff Teague and Al Horford, where those guys would get into certain matchups and just never get a call. I have never seen a number one seed that won 64 games, that's been a consistent winner the last three seasons, with Donovan Mitchell, who is all agreed upon a top 20 start across the board. I've never seen a number one seed not get calls the way this team has through five games. It's not why they lost, but we start talking about compound interest on things like the fouls of last night. Like, yeah, Kenny was pretty silent the entirety of the Miami series. Oh, by the way,
I know. I just
they're not just the number one seed. They're also at home.
I don't agree with Nick about the first four games. I totally agree with Nick about yesterday or about Sunday. I totally agree with Nick. I totally agree with Nick. Let me say this because I know you're about to hammer me for it, because I don't think that I've been waiting on this, because I sprung it on you, because I think that you told me last night you wanted the audio to Mitch to get last night, and I said, damn it, okay. But I knew I was going to surprise you, because usually I disagree with 99% of what Nick says. I felt it was a little ridiculous Sunday night against Indiana. I know that I think that they are trying to do their very best. If they're not going to be able to change the regular season so much, they're going to take a page out of the NHL's book as best they can and say, this is what separates it. The regular season now is the regular season, and we are going to call things differently in the playoffs. And they have called things differently in the playoffs, and it's taken a little bit, but still, I think that, yeah, naturally, maybe I just need to adjust. Maybe Nick needs to adjust, but like, damn, like these should be fouls. Like how's DeAndre Hunter not going to the line? How is this not a foul?
Yeah, after you reviewed it.
How are some of the things that happen on Sunday night not a foul? So I have to go with what Nick says. Maybe it's going to be like this the next umpteen years, and this is what the NBA is going to do. And I just got to get used to it over time. But damn it, I ain't never seen anything like this.
Well, we had,
LeBron, and LeBron got calls, so maybe it's different.
Remember,
I kept
asking you every show, or before every show, like, do we want to talk about the fact that all the NBA guys are saying it's too physical? And you're like, no, I like it. I like it. I like physical. And I'm like, well, we haven't played in a physical series. The Heat series was kind of a joke in terms of playoff physicality. So I did wonder, was this a be careful what you wish for thing?
No,
we hadn't been knocked in the mouth at all. We hadn't been punched in the mouth at all in that Miami series.
That's a great thing to ask of me, and you're putting me through my paces. I understand that. But damn it, a foul's a foul's a foul, and that's a foul.
Sure, we all agree on that.
He's pushed right in the chest. What the hell's going on here?
We all 100% agree on that. But I got to say, Nick kind of ventured into Homersville, USA. The rest of that.
The first four games, I'm not going to defend him on. I did not think that there needed to be any calls.
Yeah, every game. So this is the thing. Every game, I have some people, and it's the same people tweeting me that we're not getting the calls. And I'm like, man, guys, there's 10 of you that are saying this every game. I think you're in your bubble. I think you're just a little homerific. Yeah, I think at some point you've kind of crossed. It's impossible. There are people in my life that it's impossible to watch a game with. Whether it's the Browns,
Nick Wilson is one of those people. Apparently,
it's every game we're not getting the calls, and I'm like, man, I kind of don't want to watch games with you anymore because I don't think the refs are dictating every game.
Game one against Miami, there was a lot of complaining. I thought it was terrible both ways. I thought Miami didn't get
different.
Calls. I thought the Cleveland didn't get calls.
That's different. And so I will say, I was in that building, and in the third quarter, I was near the Indiana Pacers bench. They thought they were getting homered. They thought the Cavs were getting away with every loose ball foul in the world, every 50-50 call was going against them. And I said, Rick Carlisle, I was talking to somebody, I think Rick Carlisle is going to bring up the officiating after the game and use it as an excuse when they lose. And then it turned out they didn't lose. They ended up winning the game, and it's our fans that are bitching about it. By the way, Kenny wasn't. Kenny Atkinson was not. Like, it's interesting. Normally the coaches, when they feel like it's been ridiculous, not just J.B. Bickerstaff, they go after the officials. Kenny didn't at all.
Kenny really doesn't go after the officials. Well, right, I mean, I made jokes about JB going after the officials because that's all JB does, to the point where it just gets tiresome after a time. And it's the same thing with coaches as with fans. You can't blame the officials all day, every day. Fans do that, and I know that you get annoyed.
Well, on Mondays after Browns games, there's always at least one call saying the refs were out to get us.
But usually that's because we've lost, and that's a loser's lament. But there has been the game against Washington that was ridiculous, against the Raiders that was ridiculous. Then Hugh did ridiculous things in that game. Either way, you know, going to this game, I always think that when you have a number one seed, and it's been this way because we've been the number one seed before with you-know-who, and he got a lot of calls that went his way. He did. And you said we get spoiled about certain things. Like, yeah, as the number one seed, we have long memories here. You kind of get accustomed to a guy getting the calls, and to see what happened on Sunday, I agree with Nick. Many calls.
This is why I wanted to get into kind of the mindset of this. You said when we had LeBron,
I think LeBron did get a lot of calls.
See, because for 4 years, all we did was get calls from people saying, why doesn't LeBron get calls? He got him in Miami. Why doesn't he get him here? And I'm just telling you, what's happening is we're incapable
as sports fans. I can only go by what I saw.
A bigger point is, I think we are incapable as sports fans of ever just admitting we're not homers on these things. I think every show in America, when they lose a playoff game or a big game, they think the refs cost
them. But did Nick say that the refs cost us game one in that clip?
I mean, if he's saying, hold on, in a close game, remember this is a close game in the middle of the fourth quarter. If he's saying he's never seen a one seed not get calls, he's blaming the refs.
No. If you're blaming the refs, you come out and you say the refs are why we lost the game. You don't pussyfoot around that. So just say that the refs cost you the game. I didn't hear Nick say that the refs cost us the game.
Every year there are 2-1 seeds in the NBA. And we've had a lot, and I'm guessing Nick's been watching the NBA for at least 35 years. So that's 71 seeds, and he found the number one seed in the history of all those one seeds to not get the calls. Then I think he's saying they cost the Cavs the game.
Play the damn clip again. He didn't say that it cost them the game. Go ahead.
I have never seen a number one seed. I mean, this goes back to maybe the original Atlanta teams with Jeff Teague and Al Horford, where those guys would get into certain matchups and just never get a call. I have never seen a number one seed that won 64 games that's been a consistent winner the last three seasons with Donovan Mitchell, who is all agreed upon a top 20 start across the board. I've never seen a number one seed not get calls the way this team has through five games. It's not why they lost, but we start talking about compound interest on things like the fouls of last night. Like, yeah, Kenny was pretty silent the entirety of the Miami series. Oh, by the way,
they're not just
the number one seed. They're also at home.
So he didn't say that it cost him the game. He just said that the
level of his voice told me he thought it cost him the game.
Now we're talking about the level.
I mean, did it not? Oh, am I wrong on this?
Nick's listening right now. I mean, it sounded like he might as well have just said, with all due respect.
Nick doesn't sleep.
When he said, I'm not saying that it cost him the game.
Nick doesn't sleep.
But then he gave 20, about, yeah. Then he gave 20 reasons and raised his voice.
That they were the first
guys. I just
one seed since he can remember.
I think you can be upset.
I think you come out. It's by the way, it's okay.
They shot 23%. That's not an excuse.
I have so many other things that I thought cost us the game than the referees. I do think those calls were wrong.
From three, they shot 23.
Those calls were wrong, but are you going back and looking at the Indiana Pacer calls, every single one of them? Because I guarantee you Pacer fans have four different calls that they're like,
I'm not worried about Pacer fans.
Well, right, but that's
worried about us.
But that's what I'm saying.
Which is homerism.
That's what a fan does. That's what a homer fan does. And I think all the time we watch other teams and one seeds and like, they're getting the calls. When I know for a fact, after those games, they don't think they're getting the calls either. So we're incapable of doing this as fans. And that's why I try not to talk. If you look at my Twitter feed, I try not to talk about
refs.
It.
I know. We all know you don't talk refs.
Because I think it's the default setting of almost every fan to say.
It's basketball, for fans, crying out loud. Every single call is debatable.
Well, yeah, that's part of the issue. I mean, Jerome got away with a blatant travel. Our fans aren't going to say anything about that.
So you've always called it down the line,
no,
watching basketball.
No,
okay, I just want to make sure.
No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that, especially when I was younger, I did that. I did what Nick Wilson did. I blame the refs after every
big
game.
But now you're calling Nick irresponsible. You're calling him a child in so many ways.
I think over time, I've tried to just get past it, because if we're going to do that every game, then what culpability does a team have, a coach have, players have, strategy? If none of that matters and we're just going to blame the refs after the game, then I think that analysis falls short of what I think we're supposed to do.
216-474-0092. Do you think Cleveland doesn't get called? What?
I mean, I think if you put that as a poll question, 100% of our fans will say we don't get the calls. But I think if you did that poll question in Boston, if you did that poll question in other cities, it'd be the same thing. So it's like, what's the point?
So I have to ask you,
what's the point of doing
anytime
that?
I complain about
is that
calls?
Good analysis?
Okay, so I'm going to count fouls
is
tonight,
it,
and I'm going to go over it, and we are going to tediously
it,
in a statement
you,
tomorrow
is
go
it
over
good,
the ones I can complain about,
Kenny,
and I can't.
Is it good analysis for the fans and the media to just blame the refs
is
after
it bad
every game?
Analysis to not see DeAndre Hunter get fouled?
I agree.
To kingdom come and then not bitch about it?
I agree.
I think that's terrible analysis
to not
do that.
Nobody who disagrees with that? Nobody.
Seems like you do.
No, I just told you.
We can only complain about the fouls that you want to complain about. So that one's good. No other foul is complainable.
So you're with Nick on this. You think we get homered every game. And we're getting the homer.
I said on Sunday.
So
that's
you think the refs
said.
Cost us the game?
No, didn't say that the refs cost them the game.
What are you saying?
I just said they shot.
What is anybody saying then? What?
I just said they shot 23% for three.
Okay, so what are we disagreeing? What are me and you
frustrating?
What are me and you? It sounds like we don't have a disagreement then.
Because it just sounds to me like nobody can ever talk about the refs unless you deem
you can,
it capable to talk about the refs.
But that happened. It's 8 minutes left in the fourth. How many games have come down like that Knicks-Detroit game that was literally the last play of the game?
I'm
saying is your voice and Nick's voice are acting like it was the last play of the game.
We're not. You are causing my voice to be raised, Dr. Anthony Naismith. I just didn't realize I had to come to you before I complained about any call that's ever made in the game of basketball.
I think in that game of all games, if you're saying the refs caught, the free throws were even?
I didn't say that. Nick didn't say it and I didn't say it. You're making me raise my voice.
I mean, when,
I'm not. You're putting words in my mouth that I didn't say, and Nick didn't say.
When Donovan is settling for basically 11 top of the key threes without, do you want foul calls? There are ways to get foul calls. There are ways. It's by being very aggressive. Yeah. Who is more aggressive in that game?
216.
The Pacers or the Cavs?
474-0090.
The Pacers.
Yeah. Well, the free throws were even.
All right. We're going
to. So did our Pacer fans go?
Can
why did we get more calls? We went to the basket more.
I'll do it better for you. I'll do it better.
I just don't want to sound like homers we lose a game when we won 64 games.
Am
this year.
I allowed to complain about any of the calls at all?
Well, yeah, I agree with you. You can.
Then what are you arguing with me about?
I asked you the same question. What are you arguing with me about? We agreed on those calls. That wasn't in my top five.
It sounds like we disagree.
The referees were not in my top five takeaways of that game. Nick made it sound like it was the takeaway. And what are you
saying? I think he might be a little bit sensitive to people's criticism of referees.
What is it? What is your takeaway? Is it a top five? Was it a top five reason we lost the game?
We shot like hell and we didn't have Darius Garland out there.
I'll ask again. Was it a top five reason we lost that game?
Let me come up with three more reasons before I blame the refs here. Maybe I will. Maybe the refs are one of the reasons in the top five.
It is the Indiana Pacers. At no point this year did we think the Pacers are some elite juggernaut that, well, we just hope to stay in a game as long as we can with them. No, like Donovan Mitchell's good enough to single-handedly beat a team like the Pacers. I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it countless times in the playoffs.
As long as he gets calls.
So before I ask,
got to get some calls.
Before I get to these phones, I need your permission on what to actually ask him now, because now I'm confused. Can we complain about the calls? Can we not complain about the calls? Should we not complain about the calls?
I didn't think the officials were anywhere near one of the reasons we lost the game.
Okay, but you're making it out to be, you can complain about the calls all you want, where I'm just not going to respect your opinion.
They blew the... No, I'm not saying that at all.
Sounds like it.
I think when you complain...
See what happens when you put words and meanings in people's mouths without them meaning it?
I think if you find yourself complaining about the refs after every game, I think you just got to stay out of the conversation because you're just not going to be taken seriously. Now, I hear fans do it with us because we open up the phones after Browns games on Mondays and they line up to say that the Browns don't get calls. And you could do it right now and find people that say the Cavs don't get calls.
You agreed with me about the science of the Browns not getting calls. Remember?
What, over time that they're just not taken seriously?
It's the human condition. And if you're with... If I got one son who's good and I got one son who has a track record of being a goofball... being a bleep up, then yeah, the day that my good son does something stupid and he blames something on my bad son, my natural inclination is to blame it on the bad son and say the bad son did something wrong. It's the same thing with the Browns. The Browns committed penalty against the, or don't commit a penalty against the Kansas City Chiefs, or it goes one way or the other. Guess who's going to get the call? The Chiefs are going to get the call because they expect the Chiefs to do good things. They don't expect the Browns to do good things until they earn it over a course of time. That's my theory of it. Sorry, I don't mean to bog it down.
No, it's just amazing because the Patriots, they think they have been given the shaft by the NFL more than any team in NFL history, and it's like the Patriots who have how many Super Bowls? How many Super Bowls?
So
I think it just goes to show every town does this. I don't want to be dwelling on something that nobody around the NBA is blaming the refs that we lost that game. Like nobody is saying it to the degree that like that JB Bickerstaff. The Detroit game where it literally came down to the last play where they should have called a foul and didn't, and the game is over.
I don't
like this.
Believe
there was so much basketball to be played in this game.
Anybody has actually, you are again assigning meaning with words that are not there. I think that was just one of Nick's gripes.
But he was the loudest on this gripe. I heard the show. So what is it about officiating that gets us worked up to that degree? Is it because we feel like it's so patently unfair? When you feel like you're being taken advantage of, even though I don't think we did. The Pacers got called for four more fouls than we did.
Hopefully they win tonight. We don't have to do it. If they do lose tonight, mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure I get extra loud about the other things. And I'll talk like this when it comes to the refs.
Well, you just be honest. If you think the refs blew the game for him, then
I don't think the refs blew the game for him. And I don't
think
Nick
did. Nobody did outside of what it seemed to be Nick did.
But I think that you're more than allowed to say, oh, that was a terrible call. And there was a couple of other terrible calls.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure.
I said it. We said it yesterday.
Todd in Akron. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, for starters, I think the refs should stay out of it. You know, when DeAndre Hunter got hurt with his shoulder, that guy was aggressive. He knew what he was doing. Now, what if the Cavs would have matched his intensity? I don't think the refs would have called. Maybe the Cavs should start playing basketball and getting physical with these teams. Because if they don't, Indiana go sweep them. They better get physical.
Well, what do you want to do?
Huh?
What do you want to do? You want to put them in a Boston Crab? What do you want
to
do?
No, they just need to get physical and play. And I like the fact the refs are staying out of it and letting these teams play. I love that. That's what it is. That's why the Knicks beat Boston, because they were more physical than them. Right?
You like that they're letting them just push them in the chest mid-dunk?
I don't think that people should be allowed. Okay. Wait a minute. This isn't prison ball here, Todd. There are supposed
sure
to be rules.
Ball. Like
sweet it should be Todd. Prison ball.
Look, I do think there's no doubt Indiana was more physical in game one. My lament is that we weren't ready for that. Maybe it's because we played the Heat in the first four games.
It feels like they were physical. They were ramping up to physical.
Yeah.
They saw that, they're going to let us. Let's see how close to the line we can get. And then at some point, they went over the line and they still got nothing called against them.
Well, they got away with that play after the review.
Right.
We all agree. Like, we called it immediately after the game. We called it, on this show. Like, that was an obvious one. that obviously, you know, Kenny Atkinson even didn't understand, but Kenny didn't lose his mind on that either. It's unfortunate what happened afterwards, like the way he had to brace his fall.
Well, because Kenny's more like, and no one wants to admit this, Kenny's more like Kevin Stefanski than anybody wants to admit, because one team's good and the other team hasn't been good. And one of the things that people get mad about is, like, Kenny's the guy who's always the offensive coordinator, right? When did we ever see emotion out of Kevin on the sidelines? When he wasn't in charge of the offense. And we saw the head hanging, the cuss words, the thing with him and Deshaun against Washington. Like, it was all a mess. Kenny Atkinson's in charge of the offense. So Kenny Atkinson has to sit there, and he's in charge of everything. So he has to sit there and think three moves ahead. He does not have time to sit there and bitch about the refs, to the refs, all game long. That's the beauty of the guy. That's what I don't want him to change now.
Even though there is, right, this delicate balance. Like, we thought Chaby did it way too much, and he became the boy who cried wolf.
Because he seemed to be too...
Yes.
He seemed
that
to be too enamored with
priority.
That.
Priority.
Yes, he seemed to be too enamored with that. It's like, dude, you got a good team now. Like, get in the huddle do something
there
here.
There is a game within the game for these coaches to pick their spots, dial it up when they need to.
Get to John and Wadsworth. Hello.
How's it going, guys? Good morning.
Morning, John.
So I just think the ref thing, I mean, that foul against Hunter obviously was completely egregious, and how the hell they didn't reverse that, I still can't figure that one out. But, I mean, they've been calling these games a little loosely throughout all the other series. I mean, we knew at some point the Cavs, like the previous caller said, are going to have to get physical. But I just don't think the refs are a concern. And honestly, I'm not that concerned about this series. I mean, let's face it, you know, we knew that Indiana was going to come in and give us their best shot. They run like crazy. But, I mean, come on. We were extremely cold from three. They were extremely hot from three. If they make two less and we make two more, we win the game. I mean, it really is that simple. So I'm just not that concerned yet. So I think we come out tonight and exert our will on them, take, you know, split the first two home and off we go.
You're not concerned about the injuries, though?
A little bit, but I think, you know, talent wins out. And I just think we have a much deeper team, and we've won games against teams like Indiana, and granted, the regular season is different, but we've won games with a couple of guys out before, so I've seen them, you know, power through that sort of thing. So it's concerning, but I don't think it's as big a deal as it would normally be for another team that doesn't have our depth.
If I just knew, and thank you very much for the call there, John, if I just knew their status, I might feel a little bit better. It's like, hey, he's banged up, but he's going to go. Talking about Evan Mobley. But when you say questionable and then doubtful a sentence away from each other like Kenny Atkinson did, I'm concerned about that.
Yeah, I mean, if Evan doesn't play, which I thought this was going to be one of the huge adjustments, is that, you know, getting the ball to Evan and let him go to work, because I don't think Miles Turner can defend him. I think Siakam would have some trouble in certain instances defending him. If all of a sudden he's out, now what are you going to rely on? You know, defensively, you already were giving up way too many easy forays to the basket, which led to that incredible passing and three-point shooting outside. So that changes everything. And now what? Is Tristan Thompson going to be able to log big minutes? Like, what are your answers going to be if Mobley all of a sudden can't play? That is going to be a huge, huge change to this game.
Dan Dockich, 8:22 this morning. Owen was driving around. I said I'd get this in a minute earlier, and I got to do this now. Owen, you were driving around yesterday afternoon.
Yep.
And you heard what?
Listening to a sports talk host say that Emmanuel Classe, because he's giving up almost a run a game, he's given up 10 runs in 15 and a third innings, needs to move to the eighth inning instead of being the closer and maybe bring Cade Smith into that closer's role.
Like long term?
Yeah. Like move the guy in that you're worried about.
Okay, so we've been asked, you brought this up to us. I was driving home yesterday. I didn't hear it. It feels like, because the first time, there's always going to be a time where a closer starts to get rickety. And I brought that up a couple of years ago because, I mean, he was blowing saves, but he was the guy who was out there the most in Major League Baseball, talking about Emmanuel Classe. You got to run that string. You got to know baseball better than this. Now, I don't know who said it, and I'm not going to sit there and start to get guesses. I don't think it was Nick, and maybe it wasn't Jonathan. I'm not sure. You got to know baseball better than this. Now, hey, like, if he's lost it, he's lost it, but you got to give him the chance to lose it. And it's like, okay, he's getting hit around. He gave up a run. He got a 1-2-3 out or 1-2-3 inning on Saturday. Yes, I know he gave up a run on Sunday. until he's actually lost it, you got to give him the chance. What are you paying him for? You're paying him to close. You're not paying him to set up. And I can't just say, well, Cade Smith's going to be effective in this role here. Because what if Cade Smith's not? Then I'm working on two guys.
Well, then you messed up the whole thing.
Yes. Yeah. They're already in the bullpen for a reason. Okay, so they only have short appearances as it is. So if I take Cade Smith might be great in a setup role. Do I know that he's going to be wonderful in a closer's role? I know they bring him out to close every now and then, but if you don't think that you're the closer every day, there's a difference between knowing you're the closer every day and coming in where it's like, hey, you know what? We've pitched Emmanuel Clase 3 days in a row. Definitely, I'm going to end up closing tomorrow, and that's going to be the way it goes. It's different. You're like a substitute teacher. You can't... I've been a critic in the past because... You're always waiting for the other shoe to drop of a closer. That's anybody who's not named Rivera, Huffman, or Smith. But it's like, come on, you can't do that yet.
How many blown saves do you think he has this year?
Two?
Anthony?
Oh, I thought it was more.
I thought it was only two.
It feels like it was more. It was two, and he got the win in those games.
Yes.
So it's not like they're blowing games and losing.
Well, that's true. He's been in some situations where he's given up runs and they've still held on.
They've been in all these one-run games, right? We brought it up yesterday. They're like minus 23 on their diff right now.
I think that this very well could be, and I got to take a look at the contracts. I think this very well could be maybe his last year as a full-time closer, depending on how it goes. I got to see if Walters is ready.
With the Cleveland Guardians?
Yes.
I don't think you can pull him out of the closer's role and go, hey, you're the setup man now.
No, I agree with you.
With this franchise.
Excuse me. I agree with you.
I think if the Reds want to trade for him and put him in that role, then that's fine.
But then again, you got to trade that contract, and nobody's just going to just want to pick up that money. So if they're going to still do that money, and the money's not dreadful.
When Andrew Miller showed up here, he knew exactly what his role
yes.
was.
Yes. The money's not dreadful, but it's also money that they would rather use to pay the closer. That's why the closer's going to close. And he's still... Yeah, he's got two blown saves. We're getting closer and closer to Memorial Day, so we're getting closer and closer to like nut cutting time of what the team actually is. And if you got a couple of blown saves, yeah, I know he's getting dinged around a little bit more than he has been in the past, and I've been very critical of him in the past. And I think that was 3 years ago, 2 years ago, and at that point, rightfully so. But obviously, he shut up everybody. If you're early to this, it's the same thing Lima says. If you keep saying a guy's bad. Eventually, you're going to be right. Father time comes for everybody, whether it be a coach, whether it be a player. So if I just consistently say that, if I wanted to sit there and say that Jose Ramirez was bad, guess what? In 2036, when he's probably like at the end, or 2029 when he's at the end of it, yeah, he's probably not going to be so great because he's going to be in his late 30s. Okay, am I going to be right in the end? I mean, technically, but not in the jury of common sense. And for Jose Ramirez,
think about how long you had to wait to do that with Bill Belichick.
Yeah, for Emmanuel Clase, okay, Emmanuel Clase, if he has a great closer career, I'm still getting 3-4 years of quality closing. And I'm getting what, year 3 of quality closing right now? So let's see where it goes from here. If he starts giving up every single save, yeah, then we'll have the conversation. But yeah, gives up a run. ZRA ain't that great. He's year 4 of this. So yeah, we might be at the very end of this. But I just look at the contract and go, guys, I know you might be uncomfortable. Smoke him. If you got him, throw in a Zin, throw in a Chew, whatever you got to do to get you through it, because he's not going to be coming out anytime soon. Unless he does have that shoulder soreness, which I thought was odd, I will admit.
If you're pulling him out, you're resting.
But he's not. They're not going to just pull him out because you have to put him in a position to blow the save. You can't just take him out before he's blown the save. He's blown two saves. And they ended up winning those games. John Harbaugh, media availability, talking about Justin Tucker and when they'd move on from Justin Tucker. Here was his answer earlier this week.
From a standpoint of the investigation and all that, we don't know anything. I mean, we haven't been given any information, and that, as it should be, you know, it's all done the way it's done. So we don't know anything along those lines, so we can't make any decisions based on that. Every decision we make has to be based on football. There's a lot of layers to that. You know, you've got a rookie kicker in here. You took him in the sixth round. He's a talented guy. Just from a football standpoint, salary cap, you know, all the different things that you just take into consideration. Whatever we decide to do over the next few weeks will be based on football.
Then they made a statement today or yesterday from Eric DaCosta when they released Justin Tucker. It says, sometimes football decisions are incredibly difficult, and this is one of those instances. They said they made the tough decision to release Justin Tucker, said He created many significant and unforgettable moments in Raven history. His reliability, focus, drive, resilience, and then he goes on and on and on, says they're grateful, and we wish him luck in his next chapter of their lives. Says we sincerely wish him and his family the very best in this next chapter of their lives. So this is coming off the heels of how many accusations of sexual assault here?
Oh, it seemed like
we're getting into some. We're definitely in the double digits,
and we're talking multiple, you know, different places that have banned him.
Yeah,
according to these reports.
So you drew umbrage with him with them saying football decision. It does seem silly that they're saying football decision. This other kid, who's the kid they drafted in the sixth round, Tyler something, who I don't know what the hell the kid's name is. And he's hitting 75 yarders in practice or something. They said, well, he had a 75 yarder, so they made it easier to release Justin Tucker. I just think they're covering their bases. Because we don't know what's going to happen here. Is he being sued civilly, or what's going on here?
Well, but the accusations are from a long time ago.
Yes.
I know that's part of the reason people have wondered, where is the outrage on this compared to what happened with the Browns and Deshaun Watson. I do think there are some clear distinctions. One is, you know, one's a quarterback, one's a kicker.
Yeah.
So obviously, always the quarterback is going to get more notoriety. Not to mention that the Browns knew about all the allegations and then went and got him. The Ravens, this happened while he was there, and it's unclear what they knew. I'm sure people did reach out to them. I mean, maybe they didn't believe the accusations. I don't know. Did they do an internal investigation?
I find it hard to believe that during the time they didn't hear anything about any of this.
Right.
I find that almost impossible, considering what all these teams know about all these guys. All right, Baltimore. I've been to Baltimore one time, twice. Seems to be a lot like Cleveland. They're hardcore Ravens fans. If you play for the Cleveland Browns, it doesn't matter if you play safety. It doesn't matter if you play quarterback. People are going to know your business. And they're going to tell radio show hosts, and they're going to tell the cops, and they're going to tell everybody. Well, and I can't imagine that Justin Tucker and these allegations or just a total surprise to the Baltimore Ravens here years later.
These teams all have somebody, a part of their organization that's in the community, right? Like, that's just out in the community talking.
Yeah.
Sniffing around, right?
Yeah.
So this happened, it says, this is from NFL.com. 16 massage therapists from 8 Baltimore area spas accused Tucker of improper conduct. Actions occurred between 2012 and 2016.
So there's a couple of questions I have. Like, if he's still, you know, nailing 55-yard field goals and doing it with the game on the line, is he still a Raven today? Or was the snowball effect of all the accusations, all the reporting, everything we're learning more about this? Because the public didn't know any of this.
I think that still it's a position where, yeah, if you're really, really good, you can mean an entire season to a team. Adam Vinatieri, some of the other guys. But man, I still feel that for so many teams, it's like, can we find another kicker? Can't we move on from this? Do we need to have this conversation? Do we really need to defend the kicker in this and things we may or may not know? Even though, again, I debate that specifically, but I can't prove that. I can only have my doubts personally. But I also think they have to cover themselves and say that this is a football decision, because we have no idea how this is all going to shake out, because he could turn right around and go, wait a minute, you sued me for this. It turns out that I wasn't guilty of any of this stuff. So they don't want to get sued. So they have to sit there and talk about football decisions, where I think that you look at a quote-unquote football decision. All right, if it's just a football decision, we are, even though it's a dime a dozen position, we still need kickers in the league. Well, I just don't think he's going to get another shot. I think that's the end of Justin Tucker's NFL career. If somebody else picks him up, that's a hell of a quote-unquote football decision that they're going to have to come around and talk about.
He's done.
You don't think some playoff-bound team that maybe is having kicking issues,
if they
gonna take a run at him,
you got to get whatever he has to get cleared up. You better get that cleared up by the time January comes around.
Well, is the NFL right now? Where are we at on an NFL investigation over this?
Somewhere in the middle of it, or somewhere towards the beginning of it.
So maybe the only way it happens is if the NFL totally clears him.
Well, it's not like they've even assigned a person to investigate it yet, right?
I don't know. We haven't heard it.
We knew it was Sue L. Robinson for
yes. So I've only seen an NFL possible investigation. Is there any lawsuit that's... I don't believe there's a criminal complaint. No. Is there any lawsuit that's been brought against him civilly from any one of the accusers? Has there been anything like that? So I don't know about those facts. Now, we got well-versed in this stuff before, obviously. But when it comes to him, it's a different thing. It just seems to be that this would be an easy cut And you could always say, well, this was a football decision. The second, I don't think he had to hit a 75-yarder. I think he just had to hit a 40-yarder. And you say, okay, yeah, we're going to move on with this because that's what you're going to do. Tyler Loop is his name. I kept wanting to say Tyler Croft, but I knew that wasn't his name. Tyler Loop is this kid's name. So he'll go out and he'll kick field goals for the Ravens. And then this is always going to be a question mark about this guy. He would have to, like everybody else, fight to clear his name. Not about his innocence, as it seems right now, but to clear his name. But football decision, yeah, in a legal sense, you have to call it a football decision, even though that seems like a slap in the face to a lot of people out there who may know common sense. But you can't put it out there that you let him go for these sort of things because, okay, did he or did he not violate conduct? We don't know yet.
Yeah, what's amazing here is now in just cutting him, and it was easy for them to cut him because he stunk last year. He was nowhere near the Hall of Fame kicker that he had been. They can cut him, and now for them, I mean, honestly, this story, what in the way of measuring that, you know, how are we going to go forward? Like, what are the legs on this story going forward? Like, it's not really for the Ravens. Like, yeah, they'll just be called hypocrites. Okay. But they've got another potential troublemaker on the roster that they just drafted.
Stuff for them now.
Yeah. So this was so easy for them, and I'm, like, annoyed that we all will have our interpretations of this story. I think it's pretty obvious, like, you have multiple places banning you. You have victims, you know, at this level, you know, this amount of victims. And this is mostly new to us. But I guess in Baltimore, you can go back on social media. There were people that were making these claims, you know, years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it obviously got thrown under the rug or just nobody believed them at the time.